Brooklyn.
Last exit to Brooklyn, I enter. Carefully, the queen holds my scepter. Get numb like a derelict on Scott. Some Dick Lewis, cause baby, I'm watching you scheme on a brother for not. The truth between a have and a have not. Do you doubt the shade of vanilla? I play Elvis and you play Priscilla. Oh, he's no hero. Better yet, Billy D. Appetite, cheap liquor for a fee. A Brooklyn queen, Russell Simmons. It's like Tyson, Russian, giving.
Yeah, looking for Brooklyn. Yeah, looking for the
Brooklyn queen.
Yo, welcome to the last exit to Brooklyn. This is Matt Fulcher on the Full Charge with Tom McCaffrey. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
And we have a very special guest.
All right.
Nice talking to you, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have someone hopefully more talkative, Ari Shaffir. How are you?
It's so weird having to be quiet until we get a signal.
I know.
Yeah, well, we're like rookies, and we do it like as ghetto as can be. We do it.
We're doing it Brooklyn style.
Last Exit to Brooklyn by Third Base.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's an underrated band. I used to love
it. Oh, you know Third Base?
Yeah. We should definitely do get some Gas Face.
Did they say that in the song?
I think so.
They must have.
I don't know.
I don't think Ari's just fucking...
I don't know anything about Bishop Desmond Tutu or why he deserves the Gas Face.
I knew who that was in the 80s, but I don't know who that is now.
In Africa, I think.
Yeah.
I just remember they hated MC Hammer. That was their big thing.
Oh, really?
What was their song against Hammer?
Gas Face, they kind of keep saying it. They're like, "What do we? MC Hammer gets a big Gas Face. What do we think about Hammer?
Yeah, I do.
And in the video, they had like a big hammer. Yeah. And they had a big hammer. They're like beating it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they're beating up the hammer. You can't beat up a hammer. That's ridiculous.
I know.
Hammers beat up people.
And a hammer won't quit that fight, too.
What?
It's a legit to quit.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Keep fighting.
Well, it was weird. I think they were doing it because they were always trying to be like really hardcore down with like rap. Like they were like, "We're real legitimate rap." Because they
needed someone to battle.
Yeah, but so was Hammer when he came out with the Addams Family song.
Well, see,
they do what they want to do, say what they want to say.
But see, that was the thing with them. They were so like, insecure about being white guys rapping that they were always trying to prove that they were hardcore.
They even had a 2020 show.
When was a Jew?
What?
When was a Jew?
Search. MC Search. I don't think Pete Nice was.
There was a Jewish guy that ended up being part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
What?
Like, I forget what his name is.
Ethiopian.
But like he was never on any of the albums, but like on his advertisements it had the little W.
Oh really?
You know what I mean?
Was it
like
Jewy Jewelman?
From the Hebrew Tang Clan? What?
It's like people have Last Comic Standing as their credit. You
know, yeah, exactly.
Come on, you audition and they happen to use your cut.
Or like you're standing in the background while they're picking people.
Right, right. Oh, you mean like people who would use it who like they show a clip of their and they're like, "Get out of here"?
No, that's a credit when they go on stage.
One time
use it as a credit where like they get an audition and they're like, "Get out."
One time I opened for somebody and they used my credits to advertise that comic.
What do you mean?
Wait, what? Wait, what?
Like I don't want to say who it was because he's a friend of mine. But he had, like, it was his name, and all my credits were next to his name.
Oh, really? He's like, fuck it?
I didn't care. I was on a triple run. What the fuck do I care?
Wow.
When I first had to make a resume, there was a big file cabinet at the Comedy Store, and I just went in and took Kelly Kirsten's resume and some other person's resume, and I just, like, formed those two together.
Right, right.
And I'm like, this will be my resume now.
I made it like,
you were in Bad Girls Club?
Yep.
Yeah, I was. I put all these fake teachers in fake acting classes.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean?
It was my friend Eric Wendell. I almost died laughing when one manager was like, "Who is Eric Wendell? And what does he teach?" I almost died laughing.
Fucking Eric Wendell. Yeah. So, all right.
This is a massive place.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people do you live here with?
Just me and my girlfriend.
How much is this?
It's like $1,400 a month.
Really?
It's funny because I feel like you're building it. I mean, it's fine. It's good for like a New York apartment, but now I think people are going to have in their heads that this is like some fucking huge.
It is huge for here.
It actually is pretty big.
I would describe it as palatial.
Yeah.
Probably more than
that. Yeah, right, right. Not huge.
That's
palatial.
That's a good price, too.
$1,400.
It is a very good price. But
you know what I'm talking
about.
We can
get into that later.
It seems super uncomfortable. I feel really
insecure talking about how well I'm doing and all my money. So it just makes me uncomfortable.
Not that much.
No, I know. It's like nothing. Like, wait, how much do you pay in LA? Where do you live in LA?
On Sunset, right near the Comedy Store.
Jesus Christ. You've been there for a long time, right?
No,
do you live there alone?
No, not really. That's why the price is still good.
Yeah, but they keep
right?
threatening to tear it down. For like the last 5 years, they're threatening to tear it down.
Uh-huh.
And so they got to pay us by West Hollywood laws. They got to pay us 13 grand. So we've all just been waiting there for them to do it. And then they just, like, the L.A. is suing, saying, no, we don't want that construction.
Wait, if they tear down, they have to pay you that much money?
West Hollywood rules. It's like...
Wow. Yeah.
I say stay. I mean, it's right by the store.
Yeah, it's right by the store, but I'm just, like, done with it already.
How long have you lived there?
9 years.
And do you live there alone?
Uh-huh.
Is it a pretty nice place?
Yeah, it's... Oh, not the way I live in it, but yeah.
It could be.
But it's, like, big.
It's prime real estate. It's a one-bedroom.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's lost... Oh, I shouldn't tell. I shouldn't tell where it is.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway...
It's right on the strip, yeah. I do that sometimes. I just
what time do you leave for work?
Don't say what building I'm right next to.
I just want to get into this, because we were talking about it.
When they can call me and be like, hey, we just got that guy the light. Come down.
Yeah,
like,
no,
cool.
It's really cool.
And get there before he gets off.
And you got Pink Dot right there and everything.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a thing where like,
motherfucker?
Wasn't there a thing where like, I went to a party.
I've been to Pink Dot more than any store in the world.
I went to a party once when I lived in L.A. in like 2001, and it was like apparently it was this mansion right near the Comedy Store, and everyone was telling me that Pauly Shore used to live there. And that it was, like, so near the Comedy Store that, like, someone said, I mean, I don't think this is true. There was, like, a tunnel where you could just go in to get into the Comedy Store.
That. It was that rumor that Crest Hill, that place that Mitzi owned.
Yeah.
Like, because
and that's not true, right?
I don't know.
There's a lot of rumors about that building because it's so old school Hollywood.
Yeah.
And gangster. I think it used to be owned by gangsters.
And then,
there are parts of the rug where if you step on, you're like, wait, there's a latch here under the rug. There's a latch to it. You can feel it with your foot.
Really?
And there's lots of trick doors and stuff like that.
And isn't there a thing that they said the belly room was haunted? Because
it's the whole place.
Shit. It's an old building that creaks.
Right, right.
Everybody's like, oh, I've seen things. Trust me. It's like, I've also hidden in there in the dark and thrown a chair.
Right.
The main room and have people go and then run out of there and never tell them the truth.
Dude, one time.
Like, you're like, ghost. Yes, you did see a real thing, but it was me and I set it up.
One time somebody called me on the phone and they were like, hey, what's going on? And I couldn't figure out who it was, even though he said his name. And he goes, yeah, I haven't seen you since we were together at Ciro's. And I was like, is this a fucking ghost? Because Ciro's is what the Comedy Store used to be called.
Yeah. That was the old nightclub that like Sinatra.
It really like dawned on you for a second that it was a ghost.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, is this a ghost?
Well, no, it didn't. I wasn't like this is a ghost. I was like I just tried to piece it together. And when I told Freddie Lockhart about it, he was like, "Dude,
black people love believing in ghosts. Black people love ghosts, and they're scared of magic."
Which I actually have never understood. You know that thing I talk about where I don't know why everyone's so afraid of ghosts.
Because they've never done anything to anybody.
No one's ever died from ghosts, right? No one's ever been like, "Here, Steve died. What happened? Ghosts."
They killed him. Yeah. They spooked him.
They killed him. They made him hang himself. But anyway, I know this is really fucking old news. When did the all right, I want to talk about the Carlos Mencia thing.
When
did that happen? Late 1980s?
No,
I'm just kidding. No, but I know this is like
it's
really
like
old news.
2005 or 2006, right?
You were there that night?
I would perform that night. And here's the shitty part. Here's the shitty part. I did my set and I left and my friend was there to see me. He texted me like, "This shit is crazy." Like, "Yeah, whatever."
When that happened, did Joe Rogan, was he like, "I'm going to confront him tonight. I'm going to bring you on." That just randomly
happened. Mencia used to do like pop-ins. He would just bump people. And so he went on the Comedy Store. I'm sorry. He went on the main room. Rogan's already on in the original room.
Right.
He didn't like doing the main room. He was already on. He was doing an hour. So Mencia at some point showed up during that hour. And, he went on the main room for like a little bit and then went on the original room. But he didn't want to follow Joe because he knew Joe hated him for stealing merciless.
Joe openly hated him on the internet.
At this point, he already had.
Yeah, he would always put out posts.
He steals way too many jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just bad. Mencia's admitting that now, by the way.
He's
fully gone like, "I don't do that anymore."
Oh, no. You can't trust a liar.
Well, in that,
or a thief.
No, you don't trust him. But it's nice they're finally not being sociopathic about it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
He's no longer like O.J. Simpsoning it.
Yeah. Any girlfriend that's cheated.
Right.
You're like, "I saw you. I saw the penetration." No, we were just talking.
No.
He's my friend.
No, that was your penis.
And you start to believe it, too. You're like, okay.
All right. Well, two against one.
So Mencia didn't want to follow Rogan because, you know, we just do tag team there. There's no host.
Right.
So he told Kirk Fox to go up in between them. And so Rogan brought up Kirk Fox, not knowing who was there. And he was writing for Ina Mencia at the time.
Kirk.
Oh, okay.
So he goes, "It's a nice guy. He's really funny." Even though he writes for Mind of Menstelia, he was like the nickname. But he was just like playing around, but introducing Kirk in a nice way.
Yeah.
And then he gets off And he goes right to the back where the bathroom door is and the stairwell where they sort of meet.
Yeah.
And Mencia gets right in his face and he says sort of like chest bumps him, not fully, but just gets right to where they touch. And he goes, shit, that's just my face. And Rogan said he just immediately got his like animal instincts up and he got double underhooks on him.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just, because that's just the defensive
move. That's what he does, right?
Yeah.
Well, also, he's like crazy jacked, right? Isn't he like yeah.
he's a
fighter?
He's trained as a fighter, too.
He's trained as Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu. He's a black belt in both.
Yeah, you really don't want to step to Joe Rogan.
No,
yeah.
No.
Although, at the time, to be fair, at the time, he was only a brown belt in Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh. All right.
Well, this is all making a lot more sense. Yeah.
And Mencia stole a black belt and tied it around himself, so he figured he was big time.
Mencia stole his brown belt and spray painted it black.
Yeah. So then he got double, and then he said he got double underhooks on him, and then Mencia realized, like, oh, I shouldn't do this.
Of course not.
And his bodyguard was there with him, Mencia's. And
Wait, this is before the whole thing happened on stage?
Before the whole thing happened on stage.
And then, so how did it happen? How did they get up there?
So then Kirk is on stage. He's been on for 30 seconds when this is happening. Mencia, it's like, oh, whatever. And then he goes up to the stage. After Kirk's been on for like a minute and a half, and he just grabs the mic out of his hand.
Mencia,
as if he's nothing. Just give me that mic. He goes, listen, I want to talk.
He's even like, stealing the mic.
Yeah, he steals the mic. Right, which to me is the most egregious thing. You can't just stop someone's time.
Right. That's pretty.
It's really precious. Like everybody waits for those Saturday night spots, you know. And Kirk's no fucking rookie either. Yeah. He writes for your goddamn show.
Yeah, he's a legitimate.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you treating him like a fucking peon?
So then he just, that's when that started. And then he brought up Joe Rogan.
He's like, why don't you say that shit to my face? You say I'm a thief and I do this. Why don't you say that shit to my face?
And he's Rogan's like, I just did it. I kicked your ass. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I've been saying it publicly for years.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
I've been looking for your face.
Yeah. Like, we had an agree. Like, are you kidding me? Taking this on? I think he got to, like, a little, like, he was a little bit bigger headed because of his show.
Yeah.
And he felt, like, untouchable.
I think so.
Time,
you can definitely.
He was really popular at that time.
And you can definitely see it in the clip online. You can definitely see he's like, what the fuck is anyone going to say?
Yeah.
I heard Cat Williams lately has been. He's been on a punching rampage.
Awesome.
He's been trying to punch people.
I love how crazy that guy is.
He was at the Comedy Store, and he was on election night, and he was holding a Romney sign just walking down the street. And this guy...
Just
this
to get
breaking,
people to
way,
punch
I don't
him?
Think this has ever been on any podcast. This just happened.
Right.
This was Tuesday, so this is less than a week ago.
A Last Exit exclusive.
So isn't Cat Williams literally like 4 feet tall or something?
So this guy, Jamar Neighbors, this black guy, who's like above open mic level, not a paid regular there, but like he'll get up sometimes.
He's a friend of the comedy store.
Friend of the comedy store. It's a weird system. And he goes, hey, what's with that Romney sign? As he was like walking up from like the Hyatt. And Cat Williams just jumped over the railing and got right in his face and tried to take a swing at him. And Jamar like moved back, so he missed. He got right in his face. There was a picture of them in their face, and Cat Williams was staring up at this guy who was like 5'3", just like looking right up at him.
Well, it doesn't sound like Cat Williams was looking for a fight.
No, not at all.
What's with that sign? That's it, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No one questions me.
So Jamar like shoved him off, and then the bodyguard started swinging.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess at that point, like, you can't push my client.
Oh,
no matter what.
This is bodyguard behavior, folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you have a bodyguard, you start. Start fights with people.
So this is the thing you've heard, Cap. Why he's like angry about something? Is something?
Well, Suge Knight is representing him now.
Is he really?
Yeah. So my theory is that Suge Knight told him you gotta get into some fights because he also punched another guy at another venue and tried to take a swing at a third guy.
Suge Knight is managing comedians,
or he's on his record label,
something like that.
Oh my dude, that didn't he hear about how that happened? How that worked out last time? Yeah.
So this little open micer, the bouncer was like, this giant bouncer was jumping, and this little guy was like, who's like cat's height, just this tiny guy, something Levy, some new guy jumped on his bodyguard's back, gets like one hook in his neck and just starts punching the guy in the side of the head.
Wow.
Like a fucking koala bear.
Jesus Christ.
Suge Knight's going to hold you out of a balcony.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I say
Cat wrote the ghost joke.
Yeah.
Say it.
But I think it's the same thing. Like when you get too big, you feel like I'm untouchable.
Right.
Everyone should bow down.
And that's,
doesn't happen.
So then when that thing was going on with Rogan and Mencia, Rogan just called you up?
No.
So how long were they on stage?
Okay, a while.
Okay.
When that video starts, they've been on stage for about 10 minutes. For a while, Joe didn't have a mic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because in the video you can't hear him for a while.
Yeah, and then at some point they say, that other mic's on. Like somebody went over and realized like, this is a good moment and turned the side mic on. So he's like, oh, now I have a mic.
Right.
Now we can be equals here.
Right, right.
And yeah, and they were just talking about stuff. We were in the back. David Taylor called Nick Youssef on the phone, who lives in Los Feliz. It was like 25, 30 minutes away.
Right.
And he just held the phone up for him so we could hear it. And Nick Youssef drove in and caught the tail end. He's like, I got to get down there for that.
They actually right. called me. I'd moved to New York, back to New York at that point.
You should have taken a flight.
I drove over.
It was so epic. It was so much fun.
And then, so how did you get up there?
Well, I saw them talking about stuff. And, like, I remember I was in the back and, like, Sean Pulaski, this, like, sweet, quiet female comedian. She's tiny. I remember seeing her just screaming for blood. Like, yeah, that motherfucker! I'm like, whoa.
And were people basically on Rogan's side, the whole crowd?
Yeah, nobody likes the fact that he steals so much. Also, Rogan had just done an hour.
And, right, and they hadn't seen Mencia yet.
And Mencia was cable night. Famous.
Right,
and
right.
He was like, oh, nice, but this guy just...
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of Rogan's room on Saturday nights, too. Yeah. They gave him half-hour spots, hour spots.
And is he not... I've heard he's not allowed there anymore because of that, Joe Rogan.
It's not because of that exactly. It was Paulie fucking getting angry at Rogan over something like before and then using that as an opportunity.
So he's not allowed to perform there anymore?
They just told him to take a break for a little while, but then they never called him and told him to come back.
Right.
That's kind of dumb because
it's so dumb.
Because they were like, he would pack the place out, and then Comedy Magic Club immediately snatched up Rogan and was like, you can do your night here.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just really embarrassing. For like 2 days before they told him to take off, for like 2 or 3 days, because you guys remember the Comedy Store, you're still there.
Yeah.
Happened.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's sort of this like cool place. It's like the Cellar, that feeling of like, this was cool here, but like no one else thought so. The whole
right.
scene all thought it was like an awful place.
Oh, yeah. Right, they're right, terrified of it.
Full of misogynists and just. But I'm like, no, there's shit going on here. People are just doing stand-up for the sake of stand-up.
Right.
Yeah, and like the comedians are kind of control of the night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times there's not even any authority figure there.
Yeah, we run the place.
Which, you know, some nights that's not great, but most of the time it is kind of like cool. You can do whatever you want.
It's like the opposite feel of like UCB.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Some new open micer would come in and be like, man, I'm going to rock this shit. Yeah. I've been funny for years. Now I'm going to get a chance to prove it.
Don't yeah.
And we know how shitty it was on Sunday nights. We just wouldn't light him. We were just like, let's just see what will happen here.
The best is when,
just
like
guess what? We're going to destroy you.
Yeah. Just watch us suffer.
Go. And when it's quiet at the Comedy Store, it's fucking quiet.
It's aggressively
quiet.
Yeah.
It hurts.
I've only been there when I was there. It's not a...
David Taylor would always do this thing.
Not a very warm place.
They turned the lights on. It was neon. And it would make like a sound like this. Like, yeah.
And you could feel the sweat coming on. And you could see the dust in the air.
It was all the way to your left. And David Taylor would be looking to his right and just like bombing. And just going, you know it's bad when you can hear the light come on. And then he's like, yep, it's on.
I think one of the only times I ever saw Dice was there, and he was just, this was like 2001, and I was like, I had heard that Dice was not mean anymore, or that was the rumor I'd heard.
I'm and nice,
like,
Dice. Andrew Nice.
Because remember he had like a show, Andrew
yeah,
Nice
Yeah, he
Clay.
Got nice for a while.
He had like a show where he dropped the dice, and Andrew, he was trying to be cool. Andrew Silverstein.
He had like glasses and a sweater.
Yeah, and it was
with,
like, I forgot who the chick was, Kathy Moriarty, I think, was the chick on the show with him.
No,
this was like 98. And so when I saw him, I was like, oh, he's going to be cool now. He was just so fucking mean. It was unbelievable.
What that show was, I think, was the networks trying to like, all right, let's make this usable, and just robbing him of the essence that made him Dice.
Basically.
Yeah.
Because he even on the commercial was like, I'm not mean anymore, or something like that.
It was just a
and
joke.
Like, and why get him?
I think, I know. I don't know. Right. I guess like they just thought it'd be a cool gimmick because they're fucking idiots. So.
But I was going to say also that it's funny when even guys from the La Jolla Comedy Store come up to the Comedy Store. Because the San Diego Comedy Store is like a way, they laugh a lot louder down there.
Yeah.
And so they come up there like, I'm in at the store, I'm the man, and I'm going to fucking cry for 2 hours on the way home.
They're like, you guys ready for some La Jolla type comedy right now, motherfucker?
You can see it on their face where they go,
oh yeah.
Even me, because the belly room's really good. So I rocked the belly room for years in the late 90s. And then when I finally got to the original room, I was like, fucking, this is rough, dude.
That's a broke painter.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get into that. You want to get into that?
Should we finish up this Mencia
thing? So then you got up.
Well, they were arguing for a while, and then I realized they were start talking about like you steal from all these openers, and people have opened for you. And I know that Rogan knows that he took some joke from me when I was like, opening for him a couple times.
Right.
And so I just like, I told David Taylor, I was like, let's move over because I'm going to get called up soon. I just sensed it. I just knew it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, Joe was like, you stole this joke from fucking that guy from Stern, the preacher, Reverend.
Right. Bob Levy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, I saw some joke. I thought that's such a good joke. And then later, I was like, I saw Bob Levy do it. I was like, motherfucker. No wonder you had a good joke. It's not yours. And so he started talking to me. He goes, you stuck from Ari. He said, no, Ari didn't. And they were like, they called me up.
And then doesn't he deny that you opened for him?
Yeah. It was really weird. He was like, yeah, let's get Ari up here. And I'm like,
here we go.
Like, wait, Mencia was saying, yeah, let's get Ari up here. I'm like, what do you think's going to happen right now?
Right.
Right.
How do you think this is going to go?
I think it's just the untouchable and like panicking and you're not thinking ahead. You're just kind of like, whatever, I'm going to fucking win this.
He must have been panicking. And they must have been like clearly on Rogan's side too, like laughing at everything Rogan said and like booing on.
Well, not to go off on a tangent, but the reason I asked if they were on his side is because I remember like, did you see that last Comic Standing where Ant does a joke from the movie Boiler Room, and Joe Rogan is like that. He's like, you know,
Ant's a horrible hack.
Yeah, and he goes, "That's from the." And Joe Rogan's cool about it. He's like, "Look, I'm not accusing you, but that's from the movie Boiler Room." And he's just, you know, Ant's just like, "I didn't see the movie," and he's like, "But it is." And then Buddy Hackett was like, "I don't give a shit. He made it his own." Like, and everyone there is like, "Who cares? He made it funny." And then Joe Rogan's like, "Well, this is just like karaoke.
That actually does matter."
So it was weird because I...
No, you know what makes it their own? The fucking American Idol people, when they sing a song, they add more like, whoa, that's making it your own. Not just doing a joke word for word.
Right.
No, he didn't make it his own. but it was funny because no one was on Rogan's side. He kind of was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, he told me afterwards, like, I can't believe this. Fucking Buddy Hackett.
Right,
it's
right.
Just a straight face saying it's totally cool.
Well, old school guys used to share jokes and stuff, too. That was a different thing. It was like once like comedy got more artistic in the 70s or something that you had to do your own shit. Like there's a whole Woody Allen, Broadway Danny Rose, where there's all these old comics talking.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I did that joke in Miami. It kills. He's like, well, I did it in the Poconos, and it sucks. you know? And they don't care. They just don't care.
They just learn old standards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back. So they call you up.
They call me up, and it was like, I was like, you saw me do that joke twice. You gave me a guest spot at the Ice House, and I did this night at the Comedy Store when you were like the post 9/11 show.
Right.
It's like I saw you in the back laughing. I thought
they say laughing and writing.
They say this guy's mean, but I'm like, no, he's totally nice and supportive. And Steve Trevino later, because I'm like, am I crazy? Just like with the girls. And he's like, and Steve Trevino's like, no, I was standing next to him. I saw him laughing at that.
I remember that.
It was totally, you're not crazy.
Right. And then.
Well, Trevino says that, like, it's this whole deal where, like, you'll be talking. This, I don't know if he's just letting him off the hook or what. He's like, you'll be talking to Mencia about something. And the next thing you know, it's Mencia's bit.
Right.
He's doing it, and he's not. And he's like, what are you talking about? We were never talking about that.
Right. But that's lying.
Yeah, that
and
is.
And then eventually you just internalize it, and you're like, that's my. After you've done it for, 6 months, you stop thinking about where you got a bit from. What inspired you to write it.
Right, right.
You just think it's his.
And then, so then you guys
so
are
like,
just.
Yeah, you took this.
And how long were you up there for?
Probably up there for like 10 minutes, and then it was like, it's not my moment. I'm just there.
Right, right.
So you split.
I wish the joke, because it's such a, like an example of like, that everyone points to. I wish the joke had been like a way more original, like very specific joke to me. Because then later, kind of, there's like a bunch more people started doing it.
Right, right.
George Lopez did it. Like,
I don't remember. It was a joke about later.
Like, George, I've seen that video.
I've seen a lot of people do that joke.
It was a joke about how white people and black people are different.
Yeah, that was it. White people can't dance.
Dating is crazy, right?
That's what it was.
There used to be a comedy store, a piano guy, Eleanor would tell me, that would play the piano for the open mic.
Yeah.
He would like chime in on the piano mic. That they'd be like, you ever notice how girls always be doing whatever? And he would just lean forward and go, men and women are different.
Oh, you know,
to throw people off.
Right.
Black people are not the same as white people.
Right, right.
Jeff Scott has gotten me before. I know it's not Jeff you're talking about. He's like, I've like been bombing and he'd been playing like crickets and stuff. And I just start yelling at him. Yeah. Like, you motherfucker. You're killing me.
This is an example like this Carlos Mencia. Because I know, because they on the thing, they play the two jokes and they're like exactly the same. But that is a thing that I remember when like kind of new people would come into comedy. You know, like this happened to me all the time. Where they'd come up and they'd be like, I used to do, and this, I stopped doing because it was so hacky, the fucking, like, Valtrex joke about, like, kayaking in the Herpes commercial.
Yeah.
And I remember I would do that, and people would always come up to me, and they'd be like, oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for telling that joke, because I do that joke about Valtrex commercials.
I was like, guess what?
I'm like, guess what? Yeah, everyone's come up with that.
Commercial is on football.
Right.
Constantly.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, thanks. I'm dating a girl right now. Thanks. Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of people who were like Tripoli's always the worst at that. We're like, that joke was stolen. And you look at it, you're like, damn, stop it.
Come on, man.
You both did a joke about Mission Impossible.
Right.
Yours is about the chick who's in it, and that guy's is about the flights they took.
Right, right.
Just stop it. It made $300 million.
He's like, I make jokes about movies. That's my thing. No one else can talk about movies now.
So the saddest part about that confrontation where I actually felt sorry for Mencia for a second is when Joe was – it was outside. They kept arguing outside.
Yeah, because he went to chase him afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, and this is all on, like, video. And Rogan's like, that's why you don't have any comedian friends, dude. You don't have any friends because no one likes you. And, like, yeah. Mencia almost has, like, nothing to say, right?
No.
He's just kind of like –
because he turns to some other people. Yeah, he turns to some other people. Like, have you ever seen him steal? And my friend Aziz is like, yeah, man, I've seen it. And other people are like, yeah, I've seen it. Or like, I've at least heard about it. And then he got to Don Barris, and I think that hurt him the most.
Right.
Because Don was around when he was coming up.
Right.
And they sort of came up around the same time. So he thought, this is like an older school guy. And Barris is like, yeah, I mean, you took Paul Mooney's stuff word for word and just changed. You just changed right. Ghetto to Barrio.
Right, right.
And that was, and you just took it.
Wait, there's man. In that documentary, I Am Comic, Carlos Mencia in an interview even says, like, yeah, I steal jokes.
He was trying to be sarcastic.
Yeah, I thought that. It was like people took it out. Like, it looked like he was like, yeah, I steal jokes. I'll come and take your joke. It didn't seem like it was, like, legit.
Yeah, it wasn't, but he still said it. It was the first step to admitting he was wrong.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? He stuck his pinky toe in the pool.
He also said, Rogan, that's not even your real name. You're faking everything about you. It's not your real name.
Doesn't he say something like, I have a green card?
Yeah, but I don't understand. Like, what are you going to show? Because it would have your real name.
I know, I know.
It wouldn't have.
And then
Carlos
he kind of, right. Then he admits that it is his real name. What's his real name?
Ned. Holness or Ned Holt something.
He's a German name, right?
Yeah.
Because he's half German.
Is he still? What's he doing now? Is he still like
clubs? He's gone away from the theaters. That's all kind of gone.
Yeah, yeah.
At Tosh.0, they still have a Mind of Mencia mat now when you walk in.
Really?
Really?
The same set?
No, it's not the same set. Like The Office, They stole it from the Comedy Central offices and put it down.
Nice. I had a meeting with the guys who used to run that show about something else later, and he was like, yeah, I used to work, and I was like, oh, sorry if I caused you any, and they're like, yeah, you fucked us hard. Like, that thing, we all had to do a lot of fucking control on that.
Wow.
This is another story that's very random, but the one story I remember from 2001, when I, like, first knew you, was, do you remember those Scoomy Awards?
Oh, yeah.
They were, well, we got to explain what they are there. Westwood Brew Co. was kind of like an alternative comedy open mic, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, Westwood Brew Co.
And they gave away awards.
It was the best open mic of the week, pretty much. Like
the
most legit. Zach showed up once or twice.
And yeah,
Chris Hardwick was always there.
Chris Hardwick was kind of like the king of it.
Dimitri Martin started showing up there when he was in L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean.
It was a very non-welcoming. It was a very,
they
like,
were all friends.
Flicky.
Yeah, they were all friends already.
And they used to call us Valley Comics.
Yeah, they did. I remember.
I performed once ever in the Valley. I live in, like.
I did not understand that because someone was asking about me. Someone was like, oh, do you know that guy Tom McCaffrey? They're like, isn't he like a Valley comic? And I was like, is this fucking like Point Break? Like.
Valley meant like you just did dick jokes. That's what it meant. It means that you were capable of doing mainstream material.
And it was like, I think they thought.
Open mic mainstream.
But at the open mic level, that was horrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think they also thought it was like a comedy store click thing. Because they would be. I remember I think you were there and you were there and it was like Chell was there.
Yeah,
and
we
like
all
Painter,
would go. Yeah.
And they were like, oh, those are like the comedy store guys. Which
right,
is like,
but
a
we
weird,
never. Like, maybe you weren't there at the time.
I think
we
did. I think Painter did. I think I had done like the belly room.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so I'm a Comedy Store guy. So
I'm a Valley guy. No,
well,
wait,
let
shit.
The Comedy Store know so I can start getting more spots there.
No, I know. I was like, yeah, I'm a Comedy Store guy. That's why I'm here every fucking week. Yeah.
Right. And so that part was so – the one thing they would do there is they would – like it was a lottery system. So they'd call out the names when you were on.
Yeah.
And it was so shitty because like all the people that are in the clique, when they'd call their names, people would be like, yeah.
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot that.
Then it'd be like Tom McCaffrey. Then it'd be Tom McCaffrey. Nothing.
Go back.
So you
to the
already
valley.
Felt like shit before you even started.
I'm like, first of all, I'm about 10 minutes away from the valley right now. Like, oh, he's from like over there.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're right on the 405.
Yeah, yeah. He's from 10 minutes away. So anyway, we were so then they so
they were so supportive, but only of their friends.
No, it was really. In fact, one time I went there and I did, and that was the thing because it kind of made it like interesting because you'd go there with I'd go there with people I knew. Well, so you were your own crew, kind of.
Painter and Taylor would go there with a fucking attitude.
Yeah,
well, like Painter, all right, I'm gonna put them through something tonight.
No, well, Painter really wanted to be accepted by them. Painter was like, I'm gonna get them, I'm gonna win them overnight. And the only reason I was doing it is because like I didn't have anywhere to get up.
Yeah. So we did everything back then,
and so it was kind of a big deal if you would go and like do well because it was like
geared my week. In open mics, it was like you can go all over different open mics, but you could build a bit for like a week.
Sure.
Until the next week, it was the same open mic, so all the people saw it already.
Right.
So you had to scrap shit that was half developed every week.
So I would focus my week towards the Westwood Bruco. Like I'd start a new joke on Wednesday, work it all the way through Tuesday, and by Tuesday I'm ready to present it to the.
That's
Bruco.
Smart, man.
Right. Right. That, it and was very. Yeah.
At some point, I changed that to my focus being the Comedy Store on Sunday because it was like a real crowd.
Yeah, yeah, real tough crowd too.
So then, like, I'd been going there for like less than a year, but like there were a couple of chicks there I think were kind of into me.
Yeah,
and so
comics.
Well, ooh. Wendy Wilkins, you remember her? You know her, right?
I got a blowjob from her once. Yeah.
Okay, so
it was so funny because I was looking at you and you were looking at me like I have no idea who that is. I'm like, that
and the progressive girl was there.
Marie. Progressive girl.
Oh, what's her face? Yeah, what's her
Stephanie
name?
Stephanie Courtney.
Yeah, yeah, she was always there.
Yeah,
God, and Maria nice Bamford. So goddamn annoying.
What the commercial?
Yeah,
yeah, no, but what a gig!
Holy
shit!
Right, right.
Yeah, Maria Bamford was there all the
time. Maria Bamford was there all the time. And this girl, Tess. Do you remember?
Tess, yeah.
I forgot her last
name. She works on The Soup, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Tess Rafferty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's married to Chris McGuire.
Oh, right, right. So they were always like, and so I don't know how this happened, but I was out at a club one night in Hollywood with my friends from high school.
Yeah.
And they were talking to these chicks, and it was Maria Bamford, Tess, and Wendy Wilkins. And they were like, hey, are you da-da-da? And then like one of them was like, I think I know you from the Westwood Brew Co. So it was kind of weird because I was kind of like, I was kind of meeting them outside of that clique. So they were very nice.
Right.
And so then that's when like Wendy Wilkins kind of was like into me. So then what happened was the Scoomies was coming
up. And so then you got a blowjob from her? Oh, no, that's Ari.
So then she blew Ari.
I went to a birthday
That's the end of the story.
She said she was going to have a birthday party at that place where you can go outside. It's like right on Sunset. They have a big outside area.
I don't know.
Fuck, yeah, you do.
Is that where she blew you?
No. Not Cat and Fiddle. Maybe it's Cat and Fiddle.
Yeah, I know that place.
Yeah. But so I went, and the only other person was there was that girl not Rachel Ariel, but some other girl that was there all the time. She had three names.
Rachel Evans.
It might not have been Rachel. Whatever. But she was the only other one there. She was like, I'm having a birthday party. So I'm like, let me be social with the scene for once.
Right.
So I went there. Can't afford beer or anything.
Yeah.
But I went.
That'll help the socializing.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? I can't buy anything. I'm just going
to
stand here.
Hey, Ari, can we get you a beer? No, because then I'll have to buy you a beer and forget it. No, thank you.
I'm just here for my blowjob.
But that other girl left, and it was just me and Wendy Wilkins. And she's like, "You want my place isn't far away. You want to go there and drink stuff in my fridge?" I was like, okay. But then I remember being in her bathroom and having a talk with myself because I was already drunk now. I go you know, when you go back out there, you're going to bone this girl.
Right.
Just so you know what's going to happen. Like, do you want to do this? Like, I had a real serious talk to myself. And then I just, in my drunk state, I just went, yeah. All right, let's just do it. So we started hooking up, and then she gave me, it was the best move. She gave me half a blowjob.
Half?
And then turned on her back and said, your turn before I finish. And I was like, wow. Well played.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Well played.
I can't believe we opened with the Mencia story. Yeah. We should have been talking about this shit. So anyway,
and then she.
So
then
little
she,
that was yeah. what. Go on, no, go on. What more?
And then she gave me her the other half.
Wait, I don't. What is the other half? Is this you have to eat her
off? She just did 2 minutes of a blowjob instead of all four.
And you fucked her?
No, then I just went down on her, and then she blew me. And then
she did it in installments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep them on the line.
All right. I don't know how I'm going to follow this, but. No, so anyway, my story doesn't end with anything like
so
that.
So eventually you started getting laughs at fucking...
So I started getting...
She liked you. She liked you. That
this
saying?
Is when... So yeah, she started...
She used to say she loved giving blowjobs and she was kind of a whore.
She did. She kind of did this on... She actually...
Yeah.
She,
okay, good.
No, she actually... So what happened was I started doing well there and then because... And it was kind of because a lot of these chicks kind of rallied behind me a little bit because a few of them... She had a crush on me and she was kind of one of the queens there.
Well, you thought she had a crush
she
on
was
you.
One of the queens
she was was like one of the people that it was like, if, because it was a very like, if you like someone, we'll all like them.
Yeah, so, because they're the audience. So like, I mean, but once it, half the audience,
but
is
not
laughing.
Normal, not in a normal, but very like, look, I vouch
sure,
for this guy.
Sure,
yeah. So then like, I started doing well there, and they were kind of nice to me. And then they had a thing where they had nominating for the Scoomies.
Oh, yeah,
Scoomies. And what did it stand for? Like
Southern California
Open Mic.
Open Mic.
Awards,
IE, just
or something. I don't know. And so,
yeah.
like, it was a big thing that one day they were like, "Here are the ballots to nominate your, you know, whoever for da da da."
Yeah.
And one of them was like, "Biggest Crush,"
yeah,
biggest
or someone,
crush.
Yeah. And then one was like, "Newcomer" or something.
Uh-huh.
So anyway,
oh yeah, best newcomer
or something like that. So like,
those awards were legit. Like, I cared about that.
People care.
No, they made you know because you know what it is. It's because it's. There's so few like places to get up there that like that open mic became like a legitimate show because
right.
it was so hard to get like a, like legitimate good stage. So anyway, I wasn't even going to go to the award show, but Wendy Wilkins called me and she was like, "Hey, will you present an award with me? We're going to do this
yeah.
skit."
Oh yeah, he let everybody either Vance was always cool about that. He let anybody who was there like pretty regularly either present something or win something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
sure to everybody
right.
included.
So like she was like, "I have this thing that you know we want to do a thing where I'm you know talking to you and then it turns out that I have like a crush on you and then like we kind of like fake make out."
Like
okay.
Plan.
Well, like, first you
and
have
then
make
I blow
out.
Ari while he's
oh, here it
two
is.
Minutes
it's for Southern California. Damn it.
Oh, you found it in Southern California. So anyway, so I go to the, you know, and they made a big deal. I don't know if you remember, like they'd make a big deal, but like they'd have like a fake red carpet that was almost like real. And they'd have someone like, remember Sharon Houston?
Uh-huh.
She was like interviewing people like it was like the Academy Awards.
Wow. On the way into the building?
What?
The way into the room.
The way into the room.
Yeah, people were
wow.
dressed up. As
people
well.
Were real. It was like
could.
A prom. It was like
huh.
people were, I mean, it was kind of like.
Brett Williams wore like a giant orange suit once that he found.
Oh, who really?
Did?
Brett Williams.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think this was
that
this time. I think this was this time. No, this was this year it was, that he did that. And so, like, I was kind of like, wow, this is really, people are taking this, like it was kind of a joke, but, like, not really.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people
everyone
just
kinda, go too long when they're presenting.
Yeah.
Right.
So I got nominated. So I did my thing with Wendy.
Did you get nominated for two things?
I got nominated for two things.
Okay.
And this is what happened. So Chris Hardwick was like such a big guy there at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He after I was nominated twice and they did the awards I was nominated for and I did the presentation thing. And what happened was it was so weird. Like I kind of started fake, you know, dry humping Wendy
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
She kind of fell down and I kind of went with
this.
It. Well, you'll remember. I don't know if you remember this part, but then like Chris Hardwick was up later and I was kind of near the front row and in the middle of. One of the things that I was nominated for, he was presenting. And he was like,
okay.
The nominees are. And he goes, Tom McCaffrey looks at me, goes, who are you? He goes, you come here? Like, you could tell he was kind of, like, mad because it was like, I'm the king of this place.
Right, right.
Why do people know who you – because when I did the thing, the presentation, like, with Wendy, people were kind of, like, laughing and like, ah. And she was saying, like, she was – and so it was almost like you could tell he was, like, mad that, like, he had no idea
right.
who I was and I was there. So anyway, it was, like, really kind of, like, embarrassing.
Yeah. Because
well, I'd been kind of begged to go there and do this thing. And I was like, now the king is, like –
yeah,
I felt like I was being like a part of it, and then the guy was like, "Who are you? I don't even know who you are."
Yeah, right.
So anyway, it was like really kind
you're
of
you're not
like
part
awkward.
Of this open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you.
So then, like, I saw Ari like maybe 3 days later. Actually, I think the next week at the Bruco open mic.
Yeah,
yeah.
And everyone's like, "Yeah, wasn't that a good award show or something like that?" And then
yeah.
Ari turns to me, he's like, "Wasn't that funny when Chris Hardwick like turned you and was like, who are you?" Like
that.
He was so he thought it was wasn't know. That so funny? I was like, "Yeah, that's fucking hilarious."
That was hilarious. I love that.
But
part.
It was just one of those things that was like, of course, Ari is like the person who's bringing up the fucking awkward like horrible moment. Like,
well,
yeah,
also,
yeah.
It's also funny to think of a time where like Chris Hardwick was part of like an open mic scene.
I know.
And had a little bit of jealousy towards you.
That's the thing that's so funny about
because
it.
At that point,
he's
think
only positive energy now. That's all he is.
Yeah, well, he
positive.
Really?
Yeah.
He used to drink back then, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just a singled out guy back then. And
he
was
that was kind of how
he had
I knew
a nice
it.
So
mean streak in him he could get to. He didn't always like access it, but when he could, he was like, ooh, that's a good biting line, man.
Right, right. So it was funny because I remember it was in front
he
of
a bunch
of people.
He saw Evil Hardwick.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
Before he was a nerd.
I really I brought it out of him.
Did this thing once where she took her boobs out at one of the shows in this like fame like parody.
Like she really took her tit out?
Yeah, and then Hardwick followed it and he just shat on her.
Wow.
But then realized like, oh, She's like a human who's upset. So he made sure to like ask fans to go back on, and then he had to like describe how nice her areola to boob ratio was.
No,
it was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
I guess so, yeah.
That had a happy ending.
Wendy.
But I just thought that was really funny because what wasn't funny
to me? Did you ever hook up with her?
No. Of course not. I think I heard about that thing with you. Like, I think Painter told me that. We should get into that.
I didn't tell anybody. And then, like, way later, she like couldn't. My theory was always like, you don't tell about girls at a hotel because it's like worse for them than
right,
for you.
Right, right, right.
But then she told David Taylor, like, pushed it. Like, it wasn't even like came up a conversation. She was like, oh, beer? Yeah, I had beer with Ari when I blew him and we hooked up.
Right. Good segue.
And she wanted to get out and just didn't, so she told David. And then David held it for a while, and I was making fun of him for something. And I was just shitting. Just like,
he's like, oh, really? Oh, he's
yeah, he goes, another word and I tell everybody about Wendy Wilkins and you. And I was like, well played, man. Really nice. I didn't even know.
You were like, no, you know what? I think your hair does look like it's growing in. Yeah.
That does it anyways.
I was like, how long have you held on to that? He's like, 6-8 months. It's been a while. I was like, damn.
That guy's
good
evil.
Job. Just well, wait for a moment.
Evil genius shit
yeah.
right there.
The cat's out of the bag now. So let's talk about Painter, because Matt was telling me you tell your story about Painter.
Well, yeah, Ari tells this great story on stage about Painter, and yeah. he's kind of like the kind of a hero of our generation in a way.
Wait, before we get into this, yeah. can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
When you did your HBO, didn't you do like Jim Norton thing?
Uh-huh.
Wait, did you take your dick out?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was HBO. I thought about it, and I was like, I think I can get away with this here.
So, what happened with that? Like, did you get in trouble?
I told Rogan's manager, I was just talking to her, I was like, hey, I booked a TV show. I was like really excited about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, that's awesome. And just as a joke, she goes, you know, don't get naked. And
right.
Something like that. Right. You know, just have fun. Don't get naked. And I was like, whoa.
How am I supposed to have fun
like
without
light,
getting naked?
A light went off.
You're like, sounds like I'm going to be getting naked. I have a great idea.
The problem is, remember when you do open mics, you just think, I want to be revolutionary in stand-up.
Sure.
Just do stuff that no one's done.
Right.
Right.
You can't accept, like, no, just tell your bits that you think of. That's fine.
Yeah.
You're not going to.
How
you know,
much
reinvent this.
Didn't you take your dick out of the Comedy Store one time and
that's
someone paid you like $1,000 for
yeah.
it though? Because they didn't think you would do it. But you know you've done it 5, 6, 10 times already.
No, well, I've done it a bunch. At the
right.
Comedy Store, I feel
yeah.
comfortable, especially after midnight. It's like,
right.
You know,
it's almost like the place is
I
closed.
I just take my balls
You feel
out
weird with your balls in the pants.
The shaft away. Yeah.
Hold on, but doesn't somebody get their dick sucked on? Hold on. First,
yeah.
answer that question.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you get paid to take your
yeah.
dick out
well,
one time?
I had, this is why I got Montreal, by the way. I've taken out so much. Rogan was messing with somebody in a show in Montreal. I was just opening for him.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Just for Laughs was promoting it, so they were
sure.
all there.
Right.
And Rogan was fucking around with this girl on stage, and he was like, take your boobs out. She's like, no. He goes, and I'm in the back in the green room. He goes, if you take your boobs out, Ari will show you his balls. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I just heard it.
Get him ready. Get him ready.
And, right
yeah.
and then I just get out there with my balls. And it was just like fun. And after that, they were like,
you're like the Steve-O of comedy.
Yeah, they were
is.
Like, hey, we'd like you to do the Nasty Show next year. Like, it was just an invitation. No more trying out.
We like that joke you wrote.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I got that shit. Everything you get is not for the reasons you think it's going to be.
Right,
sure.
right.
Every, like, I can't wait for this. It's always fucking shit on.
Right.
And you're like, I don't care about this shit at all anymore.
Right.
right.
Finally, I made a pay break at the Comedy Store. I was over it. All that stuff.
No, they right. can, like, smell, like, wanting it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
you want it? No, get out of
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
I got put in LA Weekly this year. I had, like, a list of 12 LA comics to watch or 10 LA comics.
Right.
To watch. I was on there, and people were like, oh, it's such a good thing. And I was like, dude, when I was going to, like, the Unurban and stuff, and I would like
yeah
an open mic, and I would go to the falafel place nearby and just eat while I was waiting to come back
right,
to my spot.
Right.
And I read the LA Weekly, and when they had lists like that in there, I just felt like they were chosen by God.
Right, right.
These are the people. Who
they're
are
like, how
right.
did they're like, how did you get on there? You're like, I banged the writer's mom.
Yeah, that's it. It was like some guy. They asked him. He knew me. He said that. He's like, yeah, Ari, I guess. I got
no, no,
name.
Yeah. Like you envision like there's this room where they're just like going through like
you
this huge process.
Universe,
like,
what
yeah.
you don't realize is they got to pick 365 people, or not 365, but like 52 people a year.
Right, right.
like yeah. Your number's going to come up eventually.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't mean anything.
Right, right.
So that's how it was when, like, yeah, I got that. I was like, what? Oh, it's all fucking fake.
Yeah.
Right.
But wait, oh.
So the dick. So did you get in trouble when you did that? Like, were you like, oh, I'm going to do this? Like, did you didn't tell them that you were
going
to take your dick out?
No, I didn't tell anybody. I Barely, like.
That's so funny. Well, I don't know how they do it. I've only done, like, Comedy Central mostly, but you have to clear, like, every single
joke.
Yeah.
I, like, told them, like, because they were like, you know, you're allowed to be as dirty as you want because, like, the show is called Down and Dirty.
Right.
It was called Dirty White Boys until the first person they booked was Whitney Cummings. And they were like, oh, I guess we got to change the name. She right. was so in. She booked a show called Dirty White Boys.
Change the name.
They changed the name to include her. That is someone who has
some clout,
on track.
No shit.
They were like, oh, yeah, Whitney got that. I was like, I'm pretty sure she didn't because the show is called Dirty White Boys.
She's very in. She just booked a show called People Not Named Whitney Cummings.
So, yeah, I ran the bus. They're like, yeah, whatever you want to do, you can go a little nuts. And I was like,
a little nuts.
Yeah, I was like,
nuts, huh?
Hey, now.
But I already had this theory, and I was like, how am I going to tell them? So I was like, just as like sliding by this talent coordinators, I was like, yeah, maybe I'll take my dick out or something. That was like, you. Yeah, maybe.
Because yeah. I don't think you're going
to. Loud and clear. That's it. That's it.
And by maybe, I mean counts. Definitely.
Yeah, that's I was so like, funny. You don't want to hear about it. You don't want to have to know. Plausible deniability. Cool.
Right.
And
right
did you
right.
do it at the end of the set? You can't.
Yeah, open. At the end of the set.
You can't follow your own dick.
Yeah, I worked. Yeah. 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 I learned that from enough sets. Once I pull that dick out.
Right.
That's,
right.
That's the end of my
say goodbye.
Show.
You can't put the dick back and be like, so anyway,
that guy,
you know
that
the bus
was, who was there? He was like owned like 30 magazines.
Uh huh.
He had actually like Don Barris was on like, let's try to get them to show his dick.
Right.
And he got like 65 cents from somebody on the right hand side, some Mexican couple. And then he goes, who else? And that guy, he had been there a bunch. He had already seen me take my dick out.
Really?
He bought rounds for the entire place before.
Yeah.
But he just played along. He goes, I'll give you $1,000 if you take it out right now.
Right.
Like,
right.
But
yeah,
he knew I was already going to take it out. He just wanted to be part
of
it.
To yeah, okay. Right.
Wow.
Right.
And so I pulled it out, and he whipped out 10 hundreds.
Wow.
Nice. He gave me $1,000.
That was awesome, man. I saw you afterwards just counting your money.
I was like, well, you remember what that was. $1,000 is 3.5 weeks salary.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Jesus.
If you're lucky.
I made, there was 3 years where I made 12 grand, 9 grand, and 13 grand.
Right.
And that's what we all sort of lived off, that much money.
Right.
Right.
$1,000? That's
no,
so
shit.
Much tax-free money.
No, I
so when you.
That you didn't count on.
Yeah. So I got it. And we counted it. I was like, yeah. And then I was like, and Dom was like, is that good? I was like, no. What yeah. about the 65 cents that was promised to me as well?
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, so I had to workshop it because.
Usually you get fined $1,000 for things like that. This is very
you really
take your dick out. Here's your money. Wow, this is weird. Things are really turning around for me.
Didn't some porn star blow that kid though on stage?
Yeah, we did that. But hold on. So on at the Down and Dirty, so I had a workshop. So I went to like the Brea Improv and did one of those comedy juice shows.
Uh-huh.
And I set up a camera to see what it would look like.
Yeah.
So I just pulled my pants down to like just my weight, just a little low. And I was like, I looked at the tape. I was like, nah, doesn't read.
Right.
So I'm like, I got to go down to the waist. Got to go all the way down to my ankles.
Right.
This is
right,
so
right.
great. You had to like do like practice sets.
Yeah.
This was at Brea or Irvine or something?
Yeah. And then Nick Thune followed me. I remember him just getting super angry about it.
That was so.
Why? What did he say?
He's like, what the fuck are these people taking their dicks out? I don't want to fucking do this. And every time he'd laugh, if we wouldn't get the exact right response. Oh, but you're laughing when somebody's dick was out.
What was, you know what happened to me, too, is I did this whole thing with, like, Tom Wilson where, like, I made fun of, like, Back to the Future, whatever, and he got, like, really mad at me.
Really?
This is the short version
well,
of this story.
And tell everyone who doesn't know who
oh,
he
Tom
is.
Oh, Tom Wilson is Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Right.
And he flipped out on me and, like, and jumped
really?
Through the aisles and got really pissed at me.
Wait, tell the joke you told. Tell
the joke
happened.
Was something like it was.
I hate Tom
it was,
Wilson.
It was something to the great,
yeah.
you know. It was something to the guy, like, Marvin Berry was holding up. That set was so good. Marvin Berry was holding up a cell phone to it, telling his brother about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good joke, but I just said
right.
it really quick. Good night, everybody. And he fucking flipped out because he doesn't like anything to do with Back to the Future.
It's all he's talked about for fucking 30
right.
years.
Right. Even his bit is about how he doesn't want to be talked about or,
yeah.
or he doesn't want to be
that's
Biff
so fucking
anymore,
annoying.
But that's still his hook. So whatever.
No,
what were you gonna say?
I was going to say, it's really annoying when these people who are known for one specific thing go on things and they're mad when you bring them up. Like, I remember the chick Jan from the Brady Bunch.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw her in Conan once, and she always had a thing about, like,
don't
before,
bring it up.
Yeah, like, don't bring up Jan Brady. And then, like, but Conan was like, well, can I ask you to do it? And she was like, seemed really annoyed. She was like, you know, I just don't like to talk about it because it's like, you know, it's a thing I did and now it's over. And it's like, yeah, but it's the only fucking reason you're on Conan.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You, they didn't bring you on because you're fucking like.
Talk about your art project.
Well, yeah, because you're the eighth lead on a fucking yeah. Nickelodeon show that's coming out.
Oh,
you
did
know?
You write a children's book? Because yeah. Who cares besides no one?
I know, exactly. So it's like, it's really annoying because it's like, that's the only reason they're getting this attention, but they're like, oh, please don't fucking bring that up. But it's like, well, do something else.
Yeah, I sort of get it only because it's like, they've talked about it a billion times and it's just so rote and boring to them now.
And it would be weird to be like somebody else. It would be weird to be like Tom Wilson for half your life and then for like the next, I don't know, even like 2/3 of your life, you're Biff.
Biff, yeah, that's all anybody
would like
allow.
A weird thing.
No,
I mean, even like Michael J. Fox, he was no longer a Back to the Future guy, but because he did other things.
That's exactly. What I mean. Like, yeah. So don't go on talk shows anymore because don't think you're on a talk show because anyone gives a shit anything besides that.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm really angry at Jan Brady.
I know. You hate her. You hate her. So like me and Biff make up and then like I go up to somebody who's talking to Rogan. I forget who that other person was, but they're talking about you and Nick Thune. And they're talking about how Nick Thune was pissed that you took your dick out.
Oh, they're talking about that story?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why
I brought it up. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay.
So they're talking about that story, and then I go, and then I said something, blah, 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 in your defense. And then Rogan goes, well, maybe I don't want to follow guitar comics. Yeah, and then I look behind me, and Tom Wilson is right there, and he's a guitar comic. So he thinks I'm talking shit about him to Rogan.
Right. He's like, why don't you make like a tree?
No, I always tell everybody it's so cool because like Tom Wilson's known as a nice guy, but I got to meet Biff.
Yeah, totally.
I got to meet Biff.
How cool is that to have Biff actually
and
mad at
like
you?
That's like my favorite. That was my favorite movie for a long time. So it was really cool. He was yelling at me.
It's creepy too, right? Because isn't it creepy?
McFulcheron.
Well, when an icon, like have you ever had this happen where like you meet an icon that you've known for years and like. You're interacting with them, and they're, like, mad at you? Yeah. Have you ever had that happen? Because
Dice did that to me.
Really?
He would just torment me, just trying to get me to break.
And wasn't that, like, it must have been creepy, because it's, like, because I had a thing with Janine Garofalo where I interviewed her.
Oh, okay.
This was not long ago. It was, like, 2 months ago. And
crazy Janine Garofalo, not the regular old, like, actually trying stand-up
Garofalo. I don't know.
She's a political activist, Janine Garofalo. Has got nothing funny to say anymore. Is that the one you're talking about?
Are these rhetorical questions?
When it just gave up on stand-up completely and just does it once in a while and practices for 4 minutes before she goes on.
Don't worry, I can just edit
that one. Is that the Janine Garofalo you're talking about, or is there a different Janine Garofalo?
First of all, Janine Garofalo loves this podcast, so I have to say no.
Well, write something, Janine Garofalo. We don't want to hear a political fucking message every time.
Okay.
You're a humor person. Write a joke.
Apparently Ari has a Janine Garofalo story, too. What?
She's like his Jan Brady.
Yeah, apparently. Brady. Yeah, yeah.
I used to love her.
So anyway, I guess I'm not as angry about her as you are. No, I'm not. I had a thing where I interviewed her, and she got really mad at me.
Why?
Because she didn't. I asked her to be interviewed for this thing that I was doing, but when I told her kind of what it was, she seemed angry that I hadn't told her that that's what it was.
Oh. He did a bait and switch on her. Kind of.
This is what it was. I wanted to do a documentary about Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
But about how, like, Dave Chappelle was, like, could arguably be maybe one of the greatest comedians of all time. Yeah. Maybe of our generation. And I feel like, and I was such a huge fan of his stand-up, but you can't find him. Like, I can't see him do stand-up anymore.
Have you seen him lately?
No, I haven't. But that's the thing. I can't find because I don't know where he performs. He always just pops up, and that's it. Like
it's
he does
horrible.
Okay.
No. I was a huge Dave Chappelle fan. He is not.
Well, so anyway, so
he's just talking for an hour.
So I haven't seen him in years. But I mean, I
work on bits.
I saw him 10 years ago, and he was like, I was in an open mic, and He came in with Neil Brennan and Mike D from the Beastie Boys. His fucking open mic with 10 people in 2002, and like did an hour and a half, and it was like unbelievable. So the documentary is about like. Where is Dave Chappelle? I want to see him do stand-up again. Yeah. Why can't I find this guy? Like, he needs to come back and be, like, this huge stand-up again. So I told her about that. I told her kind of – well, first of all, you can't contact her because she doesn't have a computer, so it's, like, all text. Yeah. So my girlfriend kind of knows her and, like, texts her, and she agreed to do it. And then I was like – we couldn't tell in a text, like a 4-page text, like what it was. So I was like – it's kind of going to be about comedy and, like, the state of it and, like, where's Dave Chappelle and I want to find – and she got really mad about that. She was like, does Dave Chappelle know that you're doing this? And I'm like, no, but we want to try and get an interview with him. And And she was just like, well, I mean, he's not going to like that you're doing this. This is really not cool. And I'm like, well, it's kind of in a...
What do you mean? Why wouldn't he like that?
No, and I was like, well, it's not supposed to be a negative thing. I was like, I just wish I could see him do stand-up again.
Right,
like,
right.
I kind of, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like he's kind of cheating the public out on him, on seeing him. And she was just like... just wasn't happy. She's like, well, you didn't tell me. Like, basically, she turned it into, like, I lied to her to get her here.
Oh, I know what this was. But
what?
This was, like, 2 months ago, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, she's going through menopause. She's menopausal. Okay. She has hot flashes and angry streaks.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I'm glad I got a clinical opinion.
Dr. Shafir.
So,
fucking told it.
But so anyway, and then I was like, she was like, well, I, you know, did it. And I'm like, well, we don't have to talk about Chappelle. And she was like, well, you're just going to use it anyway. And I was like, well, we don't have to.
What? You're going to use the interview?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I admit that.
And she's like, well, and I go, well, we don't have to do it if you know, if you feel comfortable. She's like, well, you got me here. And I was like, all right. Well, like, there was no winning. Like, I couldn't do it. And I was like, well, I mean, if you're uncomfortable, she's like, just do it. And so now I have to have an hour interview with, like, one of my comedy icon idols where, like, she hates me, you know? And I'm like...
give me, like, short answers for everything?
No, she actually, as it went on... First of all, I was so free. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. Because, like I said, like, she was maybe one of the reasons I got into stand-up. I really looked up to her, and I thought she was, like, amazing. And I still, you know, do.
You should look at her now as a warning for what's possible for you. To be careful not to become that.
So she, like... So it was just really weird because I just wanted to be over the whole fucking time. And but, you know, and then I kind of just asked her about stand-up and her, like... One thing I wanted to ask her about was just, like, how she handled success, like, what it was like, and if it's a thing that, like, she thought it would be when it happened.
Uh-huh.
And she was very, like, open about... She was... Well, you know, the thing about her that was interesting is, like, the perception of her that I feel like she always gave off was that she didn't really give a shit about success and kind of could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that kind of like like, kind of like, I don't give a shit. Fine, I'm famous, but, like, well, I don't want to be famous. But she seemed very, like... I really liked being successful and famous, and I kind of...
She kind of brings it up on her own a lot, too.
She did. She kind of brought it up. She's like, you know, I really would like to still be doing these things, but I'm not really the person for it anymore. And I was like, really? Like, and she... And the other thing is kind of... It was a little annoying. Is she really downplays that she was ever successful. Like, I'm like, well, when you were successful, she's like, I was never really successful.
She was in that... You're the dog movie or whatever.
She's in tons of movies.
Dude, she was like a huge... She was like a legitimate movie star.
Uma Thurman?
Yeah, Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Yeah,
something.
Mad Dogs.
One thing she did say that was funny, though, she was like, she's like, I don't know, yeah, people won't, you know, call me in to do things. You know, like, you know, I remember when I did the Cats and Dogs movie, like, when they were interviewing me, I was just like, I would tell them that the movie sucked and I thought it was shit. And I'm like,
maybe that's
well. I mean, I don't know that people when they make movies, they like when the stars like the movie blows.
They only cost like $25 million to make.
My first commercial was a Kia commercial, and I was had to drive this new Kia. I was like, oh, it's kind of the weird pickup. It doesn't like quite like catch the accelerator. And the director was like, hey, the people who work for the company are here, so we just don't need that. We just there's not,
right.
It's not going to help. Just
you're basically
don't
saying the car blows.
Yeah,
it's not gonna help.
This car sucks. I think I'm going to die. I couldn't afford a real car.
I remember that commercial. Was that like a big deal to you?
Oh, yeah.
That was like it was a big commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one was like
I remember that commercial. Yeah,
yeah, it was the first one I got. I got to go to like Monument Valley for like I shot for like 3 days.
Yeah,
and there was overtime and double time for weekends.
So when you're screaming with joy in that commercial, that was like real joy.
I was going like in my head, I was like, I booked a commercial.
Yeah. They're like, Ari, stop screaming. I booked a commercial. We can't have that in the commercial.
I tell my actors that. Yeah.
You can't say I booked a commercial.
I booked this commercial.
I'm in this commercial right now.
So many whores and coke after this. So can we talk about the painter story that you talk about on stage?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying yeah.
Matt?
Painter is... He
Matt,
was like
now that
guy,
you're speaking for Ari.
I saw somebody at... I did a guest spot at Caroline's like 6 or 7 years ago. And some black guy... like New York black, like half black, you know?
Right.
And,
okay.
Not full. Everybody's all full one color here. I don't know.
No, there's some. I'm,
yeah, there's a few.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if you're going to the right neighborhoods.
Maybe not.
There's some.
All right.
There's a lot. I don't know if you've seen the Death Wish movies. There's, I don't know what that. There's
but
white guys.
He was on stage and he had his hand, like his palms, like his fingers spread wide apart.
Just like James?
Yeah. And I asked him and I was like, do you know Tom McCaffrey? And he was like, yeah, I know that guy. He's like a big, I really like him. And I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, he was like, why? I'm like, just your hand. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm ripping him off.
But Jim started doing that, and then we all started doing it.
Right, right. That became a thing. Yeah. People were like, oh, look at your hand. They do that.
So I was
Well, first let's tell people who James Painter is. He was a guy, like, we started seeing around open mics.
Yeah. Yeah.
He kind of wasn't part of our crew at first.
No, he kind of...
Because he was really weird, and he would do, like, his jokes weren't that funny at first, and he had this weird personality. Like,
his persona.
He talked like a like Muppet or something.
The other day.
And then
yeah, he laughed at that.
And then one day he came into like a coffee shop we were playing, and he got up there and he did a joke about the Special Olympics.
Yes.
And it was like a really long bit, and everybody started dying laughing. And like you could see, it just everything fucking changed.
It was like he really wanted acceptance. Like that was
yeah.
He was one of the first guys to have really long bits. It was like this isn't just a joke, then another joke.
Right, right.
It was like
right,
you would
right,
fill
right,
your
right.
3 minutes with like
yeah,
one bit.
And he was very animated. And
Jimmy,
that's his grandmother.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
My voice is all shot.
It's like cool people don't smoke pot. Cool people eat fruit or some shit like
you
that.
You don't know shit about cool people, Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
You lost your virginity in World War I. Don't tell me what the cool people are doing.
Yeah. He had a bit.
Yeah, and then she goes, Jimmy, people don't masturbate in the common room in front of their grandmother anymore. You shut the fuck up, old lady, and hand me your shawl because I'm about to make a mess.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that.
That
one.
Was like pretty much his best joke,
oh,
right?
My God,
that one was killer.
He had a thing because
we would yell out from the back, Jimmy, just to like request it.
He was. He was around for a bit, and then, like, all of a sudden, Dice was into him, right?
Yeah, I think, right?
Dice, like, asked him, Dice asked him
Dice
to go,
open
to open,
him.
Yeah,
he
opened
for Dice.
He's like, yo, you're good. Yeah. Can I open for you tomorrow night at Barrazoa?
I told him, like, 3 weeks later, I was like, yeah, Dice really hated that when you opened for him. I just made it up. I was like, yeah. He's like, what? He goes, yeah, I just was, like, really upset about it. He thought it was a mistake, and, like, he was, like... angry at himself forever.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Real, and then
good one.
Eleanor told Dice that. And Dice was like, why would you tell him that? I thought he did a great job.
Right.
Oh.
He goes, but now I got to tell him that to stick with the prank. Fuck. So you put me in a really bad position, Ari.
Oh, like he was going to go along with you.
He was going to go along with
prank. So
he's
like,
all right.
I have no choice.
He's like, fine, I'll ruin his life for you with you.
Yeah.
So anyway, like because I remember I would talk to him. I had moved back to New York, and he would always call me. Because he kind of, like, was obsessed with me.
He
was a really nice guy. He thought
you
I was, like,
you and Michelle were, like, best friends.
Yeah, he was all, well,
we all went to work for Pepsi Challenge together.
Yeah,
one time. We went
to,
like, this job interview.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he, like, would show up to open mics, and he just would die laughing at what I was saying.
Yeah.
And he would, like, do this thing exactly where he would, like, laugh so hard that he would stand up and start clapping. So anyway, so
that's the worst too, when like no one's laughing at your jokes, but you hear this one.
But then he told me a story about how Dice was like, you know, I'm really into it, and I want you to open me. And he did a show in Vegas, and it was the people opening were Painter, Jim Norton, and someone else, Florentine, I think.
Wow.
And he said that like. He's like, oh, I fucking bombed so bad.
Oh, man.
After the show, Jim Norton was just staring at me like he fucking hated me. I know he hated me so much.
He's very insecure.
I know he hated
me. And I was like, well, I mean, maybe, you know those stories where people are just telling you how horrible everything is and, like, you don't know what to say. You're like, well, maybe it was good.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Right.
So, but then after that, he kind of disappeared, right?
Well,
but is this the story where he disappeared?
He started to catch, like, some fans at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just the comics. But it seemed like he started working the room pretty well, and it seemed like he had really good nights there sometimes.
He was the open mic night or the employee section.
Yeah.
Like, he was the guy for a while.
He was.
When I started there, it was Jordy Fox. Like, we would all come in to run and watch Jordy Fox to see what he was doing.
Right.
And then it became, like, Jordy left. He stopped working. And Jim was the guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jim's about to go on one more. Let's go in there.
You had to see it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be. He did go. I remember when I was leaving, he was getting, like, really good. But his stuff was, like, still really dark.
Yeah,
right?
But also, so it was dark. And when he bombed, he would bomb, like, epically.
Right.
Because he also had these long bits he couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He would, when
he couldn't switch gears.
Died, he would be ready right there with a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Closed.
Remember when John Ritter died? Everyone loved John Ritter.
Everybody loved him.
He's like, maybe that's why you shouldn't be such a fat piece of shit.
Yeah. He would, and all
and
those,
the audience is like, excuse me?
Oh, my
me?
God.
We love Three's Company.
Three days ago, John, dude. This
is and he was only 50 or
let
something.
Us mourn.
This is a John Ritter's wake.
Chick Hearn, the same thing. The play-by-play guy for the
It wasn't even clever sometimes. It was just mean.
But he would end with, I'm glad you're dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, every one of them. Chick Hearn, that.
What about Joey, what was the kid from The Sixth Sense?
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment. He goes, that's because Haley Joel Osment is fucking ugly. He had like some whole bit of it.
Fucking
like,
ugly.
Like when Pay It Forward came out, he had a whole thing about how the kid was ugly.
Do you remember there's
it was like Leif Alone's kid.
He's like an awkward
just
kid.
A great actor at nine. Like, let him be.
No, he had a bit. I remember there was a girl who was around
so
the
upset about it. I'm sorry.
No, there was a girl who was around the open mic scene for a little bit who looked a lot like Kirsten Dunst. Like, she would talk about it. She looked like strikingly. Forgot her name. She looked strikingly
Jessica
like
Dunst?
Kirsten Dunst.
Is it the redhead?
No. Are you thinking of Kristen Herrmann?
Yeah.
No. She was like around for a couple of months, and she was like dating a comedian who was kind of like doing well. So anyway, like, he used to hang out with her, and I think he was into her, and maybe she was like being shitty to him. And so the movie Crazy Beautiful just come out with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, I look what I'm going to do to this chick. And so he went on stage,
so
and it was
beautiful.
Like at Jennifer's Coffee or something. And it was like there were like 10 people. And he was like, have you seen this? And then she was there like in the front row. And he's like, have you seen this movie Crazy Beautiful starring Kirsten Dunst? How can you name a movie Crazy Beautiful when the star of the movie is a chick who is butt fucking ugly? And the chick is just like, and I remember he was telling me the story later. He's like, you should have seen her face when I said it.
What a huge victory for him.
I know. It was
Jesus
like,
Christ.
He was so happy about
my. Dude, he did that at the store once. He went out with his waitress.
She was cute too, man.
Adrian, yeah.
She was
she
sexy.
She had a ballerina's body. She always like stood up like this, but she would pop her butt out. She wouldn't like lean over. She would like have
right.
this curve in her back. And it was like, oh, she was, and Jim.
That's
going to
make great audio for the podcast.
Yeah, when I left the mic, I realized that.
But Jim ended up hooking up with her, right?
I was acting something else.
Yeah.
Not even, there's no camera, but that was not even off mic.
Yeah, that was good. Trust us, you guys, it was good. The chick looks hot.
Yeah, but then they broke up. And I guess at one point.
She was working, right?
She was working, and he goes, yeah, he was just like mad about the breakup, and he goes, I fucked the shit out of her.
Oh, my
literally.
God.
He said,
I fucked her, and she shit in my bed.
Oh,
I literally fucked the shit out of her.
He did this on stage?
And she's in the room.
I remember this story. I remember. Oh, she was there?
There's waiting tables, and then there's waiting tables where someone says they fucked you and you shit the bed.
Oh, my
God. Wow, you're fucking asking
for drinks. Did she stay there?
She stayed and worked for a while.
He told me that story, and I remember I told this joke while he was telling me the story. Because I would always kind of make mean jokes about him, and he just loved it, the meaner they were. He was like, I fucked this girl. Like, you know, basically you said, you know, she shit in the bed. I couldn't fuck. It was so disgusting. But she won't call me back anymore. And then I said something like, well, you know, I heard she's shitting in this other guy's bed now. And he was just like,
dude, he boned April Macy right, when she started.
He hooked up with her?
When she was still April Maciejczyk.
He banged her?
She got off stage. She did the open mic at the Comedy Store. She did the thing where she talked about being a whore that a lot of girls talk about.
Yeah.
Like, this would be shocking because I'm not really a whore. But so and they don't realize that everybody talks about that when they start.
Right.
But she had that, like, redneck vibe to her. Like, yeah, you're a good white trash whore. Like, you probably are.
Right. Was she a redhead at this point?
She was a redhead. But she would have, like, Guns N' Roses t-shirts that were, like, cut down the middle. Like, the neck was low, and then it was cut more down the middle. She'll cleavage. It was like someone you'd see at a bar in fucking Missouri and just fuck in the back alley.
Right.
You know? She had that look. And as soon as she got off, Painter literally took two hands and held the wall around her, wouldn't let anyone else in near her. He was just kind of, this is mine. I'm going to be doing this.
Did he hook up with her?
Yeah, he wore her down. And
he hooked up with a lot of girls.
He went
a lot
out
of good-looking
like
girls.
A little bit.
Wow.
He went out with her for like a little bit.
Yeah.
Can I bring this up to you? This is going to be a weird thing. Did you date Natasha Leggero? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a while.
I think Chell told me that. For how long?
A year and a half.
Oh, wow. Did you guys live together?
No, we never lived
did
together.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was that? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she crushed me at the end.
She did.
She buried my heart.
Was this like right when she was starting or something?
No, she was into it for a while. She's probably in like, maybe when I went out, she's probably in it for like 4 or 5 years. So
really?
We were trying to get in places.
I met her once at Comics in New York, and it was like, this is a funny thing. I used to do this horrible TV show, The Smoking Gun Presents, like one of those talking head shows where you're like...
Right. With those guys from X-Files?
No. It's like, it was called The Smoking Gun Presents the World's Dumbest Criminals. They just kind of owned the smoking. Yeah, True TV. So it was, you know.
They used to play those things on the fucking screen at the Comedy Store right after we broke up. And I was like, can you just not play True TV? My ex-girlfriend's on one fucking show.
It's
not a network that should be on anyway.
I know. It's like, look, there's only 900 more channels. What are you supposed to do? They're like, okay, we'll put on True TV, high def. So then, like... So it's like she's really here in the room. You know, it's a show where, like, they'll show someone, like, falling, like, off a cliff, dying, and then they'll cut to someone and be like, that guy's stupid.
Idiot, that guy.
What a moron.
Dude.
He's totally susceptible to gravity.
Yeah, yeah. Nice dying dick. So anyway, like, she's on the show. And this has happened, like, numerous times where, like, I've done these talking head shows with, like, other comedians. Like, it happened with, like, Paul F. Tompkins and, like, and with her and, like, Judy Gold. But then I'll see them out somewhere, and I'll be like, I saw Natasha Leggero, and I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm on that show that you're on, Smoking Gun. Yeah. She was just like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. Like, it was just, like, this really, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, but really? Like, it was like I was some weird fan or something. Right. I'm like, I'm on a show.
That you did.
That you're on the show.
Well, here's the thing about cable television.
I don't do that anymore. That's got nothing to do with the fact that we're both on it.
Right.
I know. That's the thing.
And there's parts in the show where they do a thing where they'll make you look like you're next to each other on the show.
Right.
So it's like there's parts where we're next to each other on the fucking show. So anyway, yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just saying, on cable television, you're never off the show. They run that shit for the next
20
years.
Rerun it all the time. Yeah. And I think she still was, but she was kind of like, yeah, I'm really busy. I can't do that show. Like, and it was almost like, I'm not asking you to do the show. Like,
I'm just hi.
And it happened with Judy Gold. Like, you know, I was like, hey, Judy, you know, just like, hey, Judy Gold, I'm on the show. And she was like, yeah. But it's like everyone gets like really weirded out. I think it's just comedians are weird.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I just think Zach Galifianakis is really standoffish. He would do like shows. Like, once I started getting booked in like one night rooms, like Comedy Underground and things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember like, that guy never says hi.
Right.
And then I realized like at some point I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever introduced myself to him.
There you go.
Right.
And then I was like, I don't say hi to him. He doesn't say hi to me. Why would I be angry?
Right.
Just because I know who he is. I was
right.
Like, so then I said hi to him. And then from then on, he was always like, hey, Ari.
Yeah.
Or, like, for years, he was always like, hi, Ari.
Oh, really?
Right. Like, that's all it takes. Right. We're just a little weird.
No, I just discovered that recently.
You're like, you have to
go out and like be nice.
Yeah. You're like, you had to know my
name. Come right back. Most of the time, you know.
Actually, I have the opposite. Like, I'll meet them and be nice, and then they're just like,
yeah, that's what your stories were about just now, actually.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, that's what I've been finding. Really? I haven't found that yet. No, that's true. It's like a friend of mine would always be like, he lived next door to Steve Buscemi, and he'd be like, yeah, you know, he's really shy in person. I'm like, because he doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, he's not talking to you because you're not someone he would talk to.
And he's not like, it's like, dude, all your neighbors are shy. How many of your neighbors are like, what's up, Joe?
What's up,
what's
going
on, Rob?
Yeah, I said to somebody once when I was talking to somebody, like having a full conversation with like a friend, and somebody like after she was like, hey, man, dude, I was like, oh, cool, thanks. And then he kept talking. He was like, oh, I guess you're too good. And I was like, no, I was just in the middle of a conversation with a person.
Right.
And then you interrupt it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, how long do you need?
That's the other thing, too. When people meet celebrities and, you know, they'll be like, you know, I met Kevin Costner. He's a fucking dick. And you'd be like, what happened? You'd be like, well, he was eating with his family.
He's pushing his kid on the swing.
I walked over. I asked him to sign my ass.
He wouldn't do it.
He was such a dick.
He only took like 10 minutes with me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he was doing things. He didn't want to talk to a fucking asshole. All right, well, I think we have to wrap this up. This is kind of long.
Okay.
It's a little over an hour.
It's a Bar Resort time. Hey, do you have...
We kind of did, though, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
What, do you want to talk about Bar Resort a little bit?
Oh, it was just this fucking...
What's,
it was kind of...
That's where I first met... Well, Morgan Murphy, I think, just kind of started there. And what was...
Taylor used to have a crush on Morgan Murphy.
Yeah, I remember
for, like,
that.
A long time. And she did the right stuff. She did, like... She wasn't interested, but she handled it the right way. She consistently told him, I'm so glad we're friends. You're such a good friend of mine.
Right.
I enjoy just having a guy as a friend. Like, she would just constantly, like, I don't have to reject you, but please accept.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And eventually he was just like, you know, I want to fuck you, right? She's like, oh,
fucking
dude.
David.
Like, yeah, that's how you said, let's go out once.
Well,
yeah,
he didn't handle it well. That's weird.
No,
he seems so good with women.
He's gotten better. He finally got laid. He's gotten better.
But yeah, like I remember, because then I moved, and then I was talking to Painter, and he's like, you know Morgan Murphy? You know who she's friends with now? I'm like, who? Sarah Silverman. She's always hanging out with her. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Jim Painter wrote me a letter after my
album. He was mad about it.
Yeah. He wrote me a letter to congratulate me on like success or something, but he wrote it in like 26 point with like weird Helvetica writing. And I'm right. Like, even your emails are crazy looking.
This was just like, oh, really? Like, and you hadn't seen him in years.
It was like a month ago. No, I saw him like a few. Me and Carboni finally found him again.
Where? What's he doing?
Telemarketing.
Oh, man.
Does he still live in LA?
Are you happy with your long distance service?
I still live in LA.
How did you find him?
Carboni eventually tracked him down, and then he would go out with this girl, Mary Jane, who was like
always at the store.
And he would just come in real late to pick her up, like 3 o'clock when everybody's gone. And once we saw him, like, hey, Jim, and he got real uncomfortable, had to get out immediately. I don't know what he thought of us,
was embarrassed about how he got in that fight with PJ Stansberry.
Oh yeah,
and then he just like left the scene.
Did he? So he, I guess he doesn't want to stand up.
He started drinking.
That's what it was.
Like he was sober for a long time. He eventually got too, and I understand this. I get it. He was out with a girl, and he just got sick of saying, I don't drink.
Exactly.
So oh, like, yeah.
I'll have a drink with you. The girl probably wouldn't have cared, but in your
head. But in your head, you're like, I'm different.
Yeah.
You know, I got
to
drink.
Well, it's hard to talk to people.
Yeah, so he started drinking. When they're drunk. Drinking and weed, and he could handle the weed really well, but he could not handle the drinking.
He acted up a lot, like, when he was drunk. He would be louder and, like, more and, like, obnoxious.
Yeah, so he stayed for a while and just quit alcohol, but just did pot and stayed for, like, another year or two.
Oh, okay.
But then it was just like...
And then he just disappeared, right?
Yeah, Tommy, the Comedy Store, tried to drag him to like the end of shows because he was like too abrasive.
He came back as Lettuce Patch.
Yeah, he completely broke
himself. He came back as a character.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. You saw him do that, the Lettuce Patch thing?
Lettuce Patch. He would put a thing of lettuce on his head.
Well, how did that go over?
I don't remember. I just remember
it was just a carrot,
being...
A Carrot Top knockoff?
Yeah, like he was making fun of Carrot Top.
Wow, I'm sorry I missed that.
He also did this thing called Blue Painter.
Oh, yeah, that was great. He was making fun of Blue Iris. She's like this really old porno star. And it was really funny. Blue Iris was really funny.
Blue Iris was, yeah. And she wasn't an old porno star. Like, she didn't do porn a long time ago.
Yeah.
She did like 65-year-old porn.
Yeah, did grandma porn.
Yeah.
She was on the Howard Stern Show and everything.
She had electroshock therapy when she was little. Like full-on electroshock therapy.
Right, right.
Yeah, she was not a smart woman.
Like, oh.
Yeah, let's try this shit on her.
Yeah, and so she was crazy. And so, yeah, Jim's impression of her.
Well, can you tell the shit story real quick? Is that...
Yeah.
Can you tell it?
Well, we got... We Bobby Lee pissed on Jim's car one day.
That's how it went down at the store. Like, that's ha-ha funny
I
shit.
I don't know why he laughed and didn't come back.
That was enough right drove there. Him off. That
why did he? Off. Why did he piss on his car? Just as a joke?
I think he wouldn't, like... flirt with him. I wasn't sure exactly, but I think it was something. He was like, he wanted him to do something. He wanted him to give him a hug. He wanted to fuck with Bob, with Jim, and Jim was super homophobic.
But Bobby's like, Bobby likes to get gay.
Right, right.
He would do this thing, if you're a phone guy, he would go to the bathroom up there in the green room, like across from the phone, and like, he saved his last toilet paper bunch that he wiped with, and he would just leave it on the phone table. We're like, dude, get that the fuck off my...
That's good one.
Awful. That's awful.
Ryan,
I like that intellectual humor.
He said, you get that off or I'm going to piss on you. And Bobby's like, he wouldn't back down. And so Ryan pissed in a cup and threw it all over Bobby.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
So he was like, I know that's not piss. He goes, think whatever you want to think and walk away. Don't ever do that shit again.
So he pissed on James' car.
Yeah.
And then
Jim, to get revenge on him, he was going to shit on Bobby's car.
But he didn't have one something?
But he didn't have a shit in him. He had just shit an hour ago when he saw the opportunity.
Right.
So I shit into a Pink Dot shopping bag.
Yes.
And then gave the bag to Jim. And there was a bunch of like...
I feel like at that point I would just abandon the prank. Once Ari's handing me the shit. Like, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
He ripped off the top of the box. There's all these boxes of paper, like reams of paper. He ripped off the side of one of those tops and he fucking picked up a bunch of shit from the bag.
Oh, my God.
And spread it into his door handle.
Okay.
And then he got the passenger side too. Just in case he got a girl
with
him.
So Cater was with him.
Yeah,
they both try to get in.
Oh, and didn't Cater like leave a message on Painter saying like, I know that
Well, so he figured it out pretty fast. It was us. They came back and both got shit on their hands. He also put a bunch of shit in the windshield wipers, like packed in them and turned the windshield wipers on. So when Bobby got back,
he was on the phone with you when he saw it. Is that true?
Oh my god!
He called me later.
Okay.
He called me later, like the message, and then it went off while he was like talking. But he was like,
that's
so they both just got shit all over their hands.
Oh my god!
They had to walk down and try to like get it off from a gas station.
And so what did they do to Painter and you? Nothing?
Well, Bobby was really mad about it. He was like, "You're my enemy now." But then the thing was,
I could see his point. I could see his side of things.
They had this whole ordeal. And then he said, like, okay, we're not enemies anymore. And he got me a commercial agent.
That's so funny about the store. There will be a good fight going on.
Yeah. Really?
Like a good running fight at any time.
That's why I was like that place better than the improv. Because the improv was fake. Everyone's like, have you seen this guy? He's so funny.
Right.
Different culture on. He's really funny.
And then store's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. At least that I know that was a possibility there.
Right.
Meant that when people were nice, it was like a real.
Right.
You know, moment.
My only fight there was Don Barris, like, would always be like, he's like, you're a joke thief.
To you?
He's like, you're a joke thief. What? You steal all your jokes. And I'm like, dude, I was like, if I stole jokes, I'd have much better jokes.
Yeah.
His minions started to believe it. And this girl came up to me, she's like, you steal jokes, man. And I go, I really don't. I never got upset about it because
it wasn't a thing.
I was never insecure about it. And she goes, on Last Comic Standing, that guy did that joke about like the thing being off the hook. And I'm like, that was me.
Yeah.
I was on Last Comic Standing. And she goes, oh. And then she goes, well, perception is everything in this business. And I go, yeah,
like, no,
that doesn't mean
asshole.
Anything at all.
Perception, I can't do my joke on stage.
And by the way, what business? You're not in this business.
Like, she's like, I saw this guy and he talks into the microphone.
The funny thing about Jim was,
so funny.
He would always, when he was rehearsing his bits in his head off stage, he would sit in the back and he would hold a phantom microphone.
Yeah, right. And get really rigid.
He'd be like, yeah, I saw this girl. Then we went to the bar and he would hold up a mic, just his hand in a fist up to his face. And you're like, dude, you're doing material.
Wait, while you were just talking to him?
Yeah.
He's trying to sneak it by, but he can't help putting his hand up to the mic.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. I gotta end this. I gotta go. All right. Thank you very much to Ari Shaffir for coming by. That was very funny.
Yeah, no problem.
Great.
I have a podcast called Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank.
Listen to that one.
Yeah, listen to that one, which I'm sure you are already. In fact, if you're listening to this, it's only because you listen to that one. So,
already.
All right. Thanks a lot.
How long have you
been doing this? Like two months.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. I'll tell everybody when it comes out.
Awesome. Yeah, please promote us. We need you to promote us.
Last Exit of Brooklyn?
Yeah, Last Exit of Brooklyn.
That's like your other one. It was all about Maryland.
Yeah.
It's just all regional-based podcast titles.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get people on board on locations.
Man, that Full Charge, he's funny, but he's...
Yeah.
He's like the number one regionally-based podcast title comic.
Right.
In the country right now.
He's just going to move from town to town.
Yeah,
getting everyone
get
on board. Schenectady's next. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Ari, Matt, Full Charon.
Yeah.
Adios.
Yeah.
Last exit to Brooklyn, I end up. Carefully, the queen holds my scepter. Get numb like a derelict on scotch. I'm Dick Lewis, because baby, I'm watching you scheme on a brother for not. The truth between a have and a have not. You doubt the shade of vanilla? I play Elvis and you play Priscilla. Oh, he's no hero. Better yet, Billy D. Have the time, cheap liquor for a fee. A Brooklyn queen, Russell Simmons. It's like Tyson, Russian, Gibbons.
They are looking for the Brooklyn. They are looking for the
Brooklyn queen.
They are looking for the Brooklyn. They are looking for the
Brooklyn queen.
They are looking for the Brooklyn. They are looking for the
Brooklyn queen.
They are looking for the Brooklyn. They are looking for the
Brooklyn queen.
I think I'll stay in Brooklyn.